Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Victoria.
And I'm Hannah.
And simply put, we review cookbooks. We take one book for each episode and both cook a couple of dishes, then discuss what we liked, more likely what we didn't like, and give it a rating out of 5. Like all the best recipes, it's pretty simple.
And if you love what we do, we're now on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help cover the podcast costs from the books themselves, the ingredients of what we cook, and in return you'll get some fun stuff. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now for the podcast.
Hannah.
Hi, Victoria. Long time no see.
Back, yeah. If this is a long time no see, actually, for you and I.
Yeah, we had a little break, a little Christmas break. I guess it went, it's the 23rd of January. I guess it's officially not Christmas anymore.
Outing us.
We're plotting
we've had,
and planning.
We've had very busy Januaries.
Yeah, and we've been, you know, thinking about our future CBC plans. It's all been time well spent.
I thought you said future BBC plans. I was like, wow, do you know something that I don't? You've been offered something that I haven't? Hannah's got her own show on the BBC.
I'm live dropping you. It's not you, it's me.
Fair. No, I would take it.
When are we going to get our show anyway?
Yeah, do you think we have to like start on hospital radio?
Maybe.
Or do you think we need to go on like Love Island or something?
I don't know about our chances of that. I hear they're starting a Love Island for middle-aged people though. But I was like, great, I'm 34, surely that counts. But then I see you have to get your children to refer you or something.
Oh yeah.
Which made me feel even
worse.
Do you
want me to refer you?
So what, I'm a single childless 34-year-old, so I can't even get on middle-aged Love Island. It's so mean.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Anyway, let's move on.
Got any foodie insights, news, feelings, thoughts?
All of the above. Well, I saw this fun little article earlier that, you know, I'm trying to bring up on my phone really quick. But it was in The Observer this weekend, and it was top chefs sharing the best cooking advice they ever had. And
ooh, good article.
It's just a really good article. Because, firstly, loads of chefs that we've covered in the pod over the last couple of years is in here, like, well, your boy Jamie Oliver. But also Sam and Sam Clark of Sam and Sam and Sam.
Love
Sam
them. Clark. What's their tip?
That when you're crushing garlic, to make sure you add plenty of salt so that the garlic breaks down.
Oh, I like that. Thank you.
They also say that cling film makes a great emergency belt for your too loose chef trousers. Can't relate. None of my trousers are too loose. Or apron with a missing string. Who else is in here? Georgina Hayden. Hers is good. Add cold syrup to hot cake or hot syrup to cold cake, because that's what means that it absorbs. And because in Greece and the Middle East, they always add syrup to cakes to keep them moist.
Greece in the Middle East.
Ravneet has one about fixing a creme anglaise that has split. You put it over an ice bath. It's just a great read. The best one, though, actually, I thought, well, two. Rukmini Iyer, who we covered a couple of episodes ago, her one was never apologize for your food. And I love that. I think that is a great... There's a funny meme somewhere about, like, how you haven't entertained for your friends until you've, like, cried over your food while you're cooking it and then, like, yelled at them that you don't have... they don't have to like it or something like that. And I feel like I always am very hard on my food when I'm serving it to people. So I just thought that was a really nice tip. And she's just like, you know, everyone just ought to be delighted that you've cooked for them. If you've forgotten something, people will be none the wiser. Or if you're running late with dinner, just have loads of crisps and plenty of wine on hand and everyone will be both mildly tipsy and oblivious. I just thought that was great.
That's a very Alison Roman tip.
Yes.
To have crisps and wine.
Yeah, that's true. And in a similar vein, J. Kenji Lopez Alt, our guy. Alt.
My babe.
Your boy. He says, forgive yourself. Which I think is quite nice. That, like, understand that mistakes happen and, like, just basically don't be hard on yourself. It doesn't really matter if it doesn't look the way it looks in the recipe, in the book or in the photo. And, like, once you're sitting at the table, whether it's by yourself or with other people, the food has already done its job. So I just, and like he says, luckily we all eat multiple times a day. So if something doesn't come out right once, you're going to have another opportunity to practice and get better at it. So it's just a nice little article.
Well, that's a very pragmatic thing, isn't it?
Yes.
For him to say. That's nice.
I really enjoyed it. Do you have any?
I wasn't expecting emotional support as well as, you know, practical support tips.
Well, you know, from like two people who have had multiple breakdowns on this podcast over food that's gone wrong, I think it's very welcome.
I like that. Maybe I'll get that printed out.
Maybe.
Do I have any?
Yeah. I think mine would be like...
Sharp knives?
Yes, sharp knives. Angela Hartnett says sharp knives, actually, so...
Good. I feel like you're starting off, yeah, half an hour behind everyone else if your knives are not sharp.
Yeah.
They don't have to be, I don't think they have to be really good knives, but I also don't think you need loads and loads of knives. People say this all the time.
Yeah.
Like everything, buy the best you can afford, but keep it sharp.
Yeah. And, you know, that could be go for clothes because it spans a range. Yeah. I think mine would be like when you're entertaining to pick recipes that don't involve you, like, being in the kitchen doing loads of last minute stuff. I think that's the biggest lesson I've learned. It's so stressful when you have people over and you're just like panicking and sweating and crying in the kitchen while everyone else is having a great time.
I'm always just panicking, sweating and crying in the kitchen.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you're not even cooking in there, you're just hiding.
Yeah. I spent all my time just sweating and crying in the kitchen.
So yeah, we'll share that on social so other people can read it and maybe share their little tips as well.
Yeah, I love a good little tip. Also on entertaining, before we talk about this book, let's not talk about this now, but let's definitely make a note to do like a mini-sode or just a conversation at some point where we discuss what our come dine with me menus would be.
That's a great shout. That is a great shout.
Because I don't think it's like a, obviously it's not like an off menu style menu.
It's the dishes you know will impress, right?
But you know, that you're not going to fuck up and you are like universally liked.
Yes, that's true. I think couples come dine with me is more cutting than come dine with me because the couples like egg each other on into being really bitchy about the other people's menus and they're like, oh.
Yeah, like you're obviously going to get paired with some absolute weirdos and some people that have like never cooked before that just like, obviously men. Like men that have literally never cooked before, they're like, well, I could win money. That's my impression of men.
Victoria doing then this such a high proportion of glass chopping boards and come down with me that it absolutely stresses the hell out of me. Is there anything worse than chopping on a glass fucking chopping board? I just hate it.
No. No.
Anyway.
Like, what are they for? I feel like they're not even... They're for something else. I don't know.
We digress, as usual.
This is not the episode that we're doing today. However, come back for that episode because it will be great.
Well, even longer than all of our other ones combined.
Maybe we need to do a come down with me. We need to link up with another podcast host. There's two of them. Ed and James throwing the gauntlet in like that. And we could make fun podcast/TikTok about it.
Ed and James.
Shout out if you want to.
Yeah, we're here. James. Again, once again, we're shouting you out. We're just two girls standing in front of two guys. Asking them if they can cook for them.
You know, oh, you know, Dolly Alderton, Pandora Sykes, they just get endless podcasts.
Doesn't exist anymore, does it?
I suppose we could also do it with Jessie Ware and her mom.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay, yeah. Okay, cool. You work on the pitch
right,
for that.
See you there, Jessie. sponsored by Waitrose, because all their things are sponsored by Waitrose. Maybe we'll cut this out. So today, but today we are not talking about Come Dine With Me any longer. We are talking about Olia Hercules.
Olia Hercules. What a name.
What a name.
Honestly.
What a good name.
Her parents were really slacking, weren't they?
Ours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are they thinking? This shit. It's average.
Well, you know that she got, I don't know if you know this, but she got Hercules, she got married when she was young, and then they split up later, but his surname was Hercules and she kept it.
Oh,
correct decision.
I would as well. Well done.
Yeah.
Shows you should just marry for the strength of someone else's surname as well, really.
Oh, yeah, and not marry if the surname is weak. Or don't take the name. But, you know, also don't marry. Yes, Olia Hercules, specifically Home Food, the book, her latest book that came out last year in 2022, we are covering today, aren't we?
We are.
Anna just looks really confused.
I'm looking at the cover. When you said cover, I was like, oh, that's a lovely segue to talking about the cover, which is quite a busy little cover, isn't it? Very busy.
Yeah, tell us about it.
It says, Olia Hercules, Home Food. Recipes to comfort and connect. And then it's got a nice picture of Olia looking at a squash and some rye bread. She looks, it's just very colourful.
Little quote from Nigella there.
Yeah. You know you've made it when you've got Nigella as your quote on the front cover. She's got, oh yeah, Jamie Oliver on the back. And Andy Oliver, the two best known Olivers.
Unrelated Olivers.
Diana Henry.
So yes, it's her latest book.
What do you think is the process for getting a quote on the book, by the way? What is the process? Do we know?
I imagine it's your agent editor.
Right, yeah.
Who just sends some kind of proof out. Or maybe, you know, they just talk to Nigella, Jamie or whatever's editor, send them, a, you know, a couple of recipes.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, give us a quote.
Yeah. That's when Jamie says heartfelt story.
Like, because you're telling me that Jamie Oliver sat and read through this? I don't believe it. He's a busy man.
He's very busy.
He's got a number of TV shows in the works, I'm sure. And, you know, four different books to come out this year. Like, what? What?
Yeah. Anyway, just interested.
Well, anyway, as a little, you know, clickbait teaser for today's episode, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, because I have something nice to say about Jamie Oliver later in this episode.
Oh, my God. It's a new year. It's a new Vic. New life.
Should I tell you a little bit about Jamie Oliver? Oh, no. Olia Hercules.
You talk about whoever you want to talk about, Vic.
I probably shouldn't. I, you know, go back and listen to the Jamie Oliver episode from last season if you want to know about Jamie Oliver.
Yes, please tell me about Olia.
She is a Ukrainian chef.
Mm-hmm.
She was born in Ukraine. She was born in South Ukraine in a place called Kakhovka. I hope I'm saying that right, and I apologize to all of our Ukrainian friends if I'm not. Which obviously that's very important for what I've got to say later about what she did with hashtag cook for Ukraine. Mm-hmm. So she, yeah, grew up in Ukraine. Her mom and dad stayed together. They did different things. She had asthma as a kid. Yeah. And at age 12, because of the, they thought the climate would be better, they moved to, her family moved to Cyprus.
Oh.
To live. Ah. And be better for her asthma.
Again, our parents were really slacking.
What? The life that this woman has had, honestly, like, she, I hope that she's thinking about writing her memoir, and because it's amazing, because yeah. she moved to Cyprus, yeah. and then came to the UK when she was 18 for uni.
Okay.
And just had a great time, where she studied Italian at uni, and so then went to live in Italy for a bit during that time.
Wow.
You know, she's just basically, she's just
dream woman.
Just lived a great life.
Huh.
So she speaks Russian, is her native language, and she also speaks English, fluent Italian, and a bit of Ukrainian. So she's basically just cool as fuck.
Jeez, God, boy,
wasn't a chef from the start, whatever. So she graduated from, like I said, she graduated from uni with an Italian degree, and then went. She was looking at, I think she was doing filmmaking or reporting or some kind of journalism,
right?
And then things happened, possibly the financial crisis. She lost her job or things went bad. And so she went to Leeds, which is a cooking school in the UK,
yeah.
and did their year-long three-term diploma.
Right.
And trained to be a chef. And she went to... she went on to be a, I think she's a food stylist for a while, and then worked at Ottolenghi's.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Do you know what we should do? We should create like a little, you know, some like a little infographic of like, firstly, like number of overlaps between the chefs if they've worked for each other, but also like the number of people who actually, you know, were chefing at age 20 or whatever is probably really low. Most people kind of came into it or fell into it much later. Quite interesting.
Yeah, I saw an interview with her where she said when she, so she's got, I think she's got three children. So two from her current marriage and one from a previous relationship.
Right.
So, but she talks about when she was giving birth to one of her children, how the midwife was checking in on her and she was like, "Are you okay?" And she was screamed, "I've done 18-hour shift at Ottolenghi's. I can do this."
That's hilarious.
And talked about, yeah, how, you know, she thought that hospitality prepped you for things like childbirth. Which,
Jesus.
You know, that's a nice way to think about it. She, yeah. So it's all happened quite in a short amount of time for her. So she worked at Ottolenghi's. So she completed her Leeds in 2010. Mm. And then her first cookbook, Mamushka, came out in 2015.
Right, okay. It's like 8 years ago.
So she only, yeah. But that was only 5 years between that. 4 or 5 years between
that is impressive.
Her finishing Leeds and her cookbook coming out. And she's always been this real, like, very serious advocate for, like, Ukrainian food and, like, food from that part of the world, and also like the Ukrainian people. Like, you read a lot of her stuff from, or like interviews with her from before the war.
Yeah.
The war that's happening now. She talks about what happened in Crimea and also just the history of like farming in Ukraine. I saw her talk about that, which is like fascinating, about how they have used to have all these different wheat crops, and but then the world came in and basically reduced Ukraine's farming to like monocultures of wheat. Aye. And so they've lost a lot of that like native ancient grains and stuff, but she's always talked about that. And she brought Mamushka, which is a book about Ukrainian food, mm-hmm. out in 2015. And then she went and did, for her second cookbook, she did like a trip, a really in-depth trip, I think, around It's about, this book's called Caucasus.
Oh, yes. I remember that one.
So it's Georgia, Azerbaijan, and beyond.
Oh, wow.
So she went on a trip and, like, you know, looked at all of the history of food and recipes from that area and did that one. And then she had a book in 2020 called Summer Kitchens. And then 2022, this book, which she wrote during lockdown.
It's a real trend with the ones and we're covering this season, isn't it?
Yeah. Lockdown books. We'll talk about the book in a sec. But I think most people listening will know Olia's name. If they didn't know it before, they know it now because she's kind of rose to the forefront of people's minds and various, you know, internet stuff, because she started the Cook for Ukraine hashtag and movement and fundraising campaign after the Russians invaded Ukraine last February. Mm-hmm. I think her parents were caught up in it. Like, they were stuck out there. She spoke really rawly, that's not a word.
I like it though.
And honestly about it on, openly, about it on her Instagram at the time. And you could just tell she was just so, obviously it's her home, it's her, the region she's from. And she was really kind of struggling with it. And she just asked her followers in the first instance to, like, give help. There was a time when she was trying to get things like bulletproof vests, yes, and things like that to her brother, who had gone to fight. He's like an accountant or something, and he'd gone to fight on the front line.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
She would just put up like a PayPal link, right? And like, I think I gave that time because I was just so moved by her posts on Instagram and stuff, and it would just be, yeah, like, dad and brother, who I think, I could be wrong, but like at one point, definitely some family members of hers have had like the opportunity to leave or have left, but ultimately gone back because they felt like it's something, you know, that they need to be there, which is just amazing. Yes. So yeah, she's incredible to follow on Instagram just for that stuff. And I remember even, yeah, like you said, before the war even happened, she's done so much to kind of educate about Ukraine and the countries around it as well. She used to run like a holiday. You could go, like, it was like a really small group of people, and I think it was like in partnership with Explore Ukraine or something. And I remember seeing the itinerary and being like, oh my god, I would love to do that. How fun. And it's just, yeah, a group of random people, and you go around with her and taste loads of different things and cook loads of different things. It looks amazing.
Yeah,
I've got a lot of respect for her.
Yeah, she's amazing. And that campaign just grew and grew and grew to the point where people were sending money, chefs and other food people started getting involved, people started putting it on their like restaurant receipts.
Yes.
So you'd give £1, £5, whatever to your bill, or you could do a supper club. I think there was lots of different events, wasn't there? And I looked on the Just Giving page earlier today, and it's up to over 800 grand.
Whoa.
And that's just in the UK. Or like in Europe, there's a whole America, like US section of it as well. Wow. Where you give through a different section. Yeah, it's really, and it's still going on, and people are still doing things. And I saw on the Just Giving, like, she was on Saturday Kitchen this week.
Yes.
And people had just, she'd obviously mentioned it. People had given her, given the campaign money. And it's just incredible. Like, she's amazing. She's just so, the fact that she's still got the energy, and I feel like she, a lot of the time she says like, I don't have the energy for this. Yeah, she's just great. We love her. She's also married to a food stylist, food photographer, a photographer. Actually, I don't think he's a food photographer, called Joe Woodhouse.
Does he have his own book or something as well?
Yes. Yeah, he does. So yes, Home Food. Came out in 2022. She wrote it during lockdown as this like collection of stories of comfort food. It's not just her stories. Mm-hmm. There's kind of input from other people,
yeah,
and from different times in her life. And it's just peppered with these lovely stories written in prose. And it's Yeah, I would say it's not... It's not, like, Eastern European, Ukrainian-themed, is it, really? But it does, you know, it does have obviously a skew, because her comfort foods are...
Yes.
Those Ukrainian foods.
Yeah, I think it's definitely an influence, like, right? There's a lot of what you would expect, yes, from that region. You know, a lot of dill, for example. Sorry, trying to hide the disdain from my voice there. And a lot of cabbage and kind of broths and things like that. You know, potatoes and stuff too.
Yeah, a lot of broths.
Yeah. Yeah, whilst not exclusively of that region, it is. You can definitely feel that that's where her kind of comfort zone is or whatever.
For sure. What did you think first flicking through?
I did think it was such a mix, like, because there's loads of pasta and, like, an Italian section in here as well. And then there's, like, Cypriot keftas or something that they're called.
There's one from Jeremy Lee, isn't there?
There's one from Jeremy Lee. There's a lot of baking. So it was a real kind of mix of stuff that I wasn't expecting at all. And it's quite big, isn't it? Like, it's yes, pretty packed. There's a lot of kefir in here as well, isn't there? Actually,
yes.
I feel like it's in all the bread recipes, yeah, and stuff as well. So yeah, it's a really interesting mix. The photography is beautiful, and I mean, not even just, you know, off the food, some of the ones are gorgeous, of just her, like, with a lovely basket on her arm picking something in the sunshine. Just much more wholesome than I will ever look. Oh, cute ones of her kids and stuff too. But yeah, I didn't think it all looks quite simple and quite doable. I guess that's the point, yeah, right? It is your home food. It's this kind of dinners that you want to cook, or it's not crazy project stuff. Yeah, I was intrigued. What did you think?
Yeah, same. I was intrigued. I was also surprised at how much sweet stuff was in there, baking, yes, sweet stuff. I think, like, that's the, when I first got it, I texted Hannah and I was like, oh, I'm really surprised at how much baking and sweet treats there are in here.
Yeah,
it's nice. I just didn't expect it.
I think she says at the start that she has quite a sweet tooth, and that her one of her sons does too, and that like screens, they don't do desserts Monday to Friday, but they then they go all out at the weekend or whatever.
I like that.
Yeah, I think she's quite into her baking. One of my friends, actually, I meant to tell you this, my friend Sive got me, like, an online dumplings class with her during
lockdown. Yes, I thought you'd done something like that.
Yeah, and the recipe is actually in here. It's the little kind of rose dumplings that she makes. But the classes were great, because you get the recipe for the dough in advance. You're meant to make that before the class, and then and the fillings. And you can opt whether to make a meaty one or a veggie one. And then you just kind of go online and you, like, assemble them together with her and the other classmates, which it's really lovely. It's a great gift. Well done, Sai.
They look great.
Yes.
Those, I didn't make them. I thought about it, but I was like, I'm not going to be able to find barberries, probably, because they need barberry. She says sour cherries is fine.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know if I'd be able to find those.
No.
But they look great, and I love a dumpling.
I am a dumpling.
Me too.
You're my dumpling.
Oh, thank you. You're my dumpling.
Thank you.
You're my little bow.
my little steam dumpling. My little white pudgy steam dumpling.
Hey, what are you talking about? White? I've been layering on the fake tan recently since I put it on when I was sick, and I was like, wow, it really does make me look awake and, you know, alive.
Didn't we hear a tip once that, like, if you're hungover or if you've been out, put, like, a little bit of, like, those tanning drops in your moisturizer, yeah, when you go to bed, and you'll wake up.
Sally Hughes in the
garden. Yeah, and you wake up, yeah, not looking so hungover. Not that you were hungover, you were obviously just unwell.
And who's to know?
not if you keep carrying on with those tanning drops. Anyway.
Okay. What did you cook, Hannah?
Hannah.
So I said Hannah Roo, actually. Yeah, it did just be Hannah Roo.
I made Hannah Roo,
my little dumpling.
Well, I made two things. Two things. So I made... And I feel a bit heavy-hearted about these. God, I just don't know.
You're making me nervous.
I'm sorry. I don't know if I just chose wrong or I like... Okay, look, I'm just going to start. So I made the cauliflower soup with cashew... Well, no, with cashew cream and cashew ducca. But I didn't make the cashew cream. I just made it because she says it's optional. And you needed to soak them for hours and I just didn't have time. But that bit does sound great and I think would be a nice addition. I did make the ducca. And this is inspired by, a restaurant down your neck of the woods, actually. Root.
Oh, yeah.
Where, I don't know if it's a veggie restaurant, but this is...
Yeah, I think it, well, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it must be. It's vegan, but she doesn't really seem to mention that, which I guess is nice.
Wow, a vegan recipe doesn't tell you it's vegan. Sorry, vegans.
Love
Sorry.
You. Thanks for saving the planet. First of all, you roast a couple of cauliflowers.
Throw those collies
on the Barbie. Yeah, it's not on the Barbie. You do it in the oven. At whole, leaves on. Read that a bit too late and kind of rushed to like save some of the smaller.
Just paper mashing your leaves.
Just putting them through. Shh. You always have the leaves on. She said the leaves may become dark and crispy, and they're my husband's favourite bit. Keep them. I didn't. I'm sorry, Olia. But
sorry, Joe.
Sorry, Olia. So they're roasting away, and then you make the ducca, which is cashews, sunflower seeds, and pumpkin seeds. You roast them till they're golden and nice, and then you, in a frying pan, you toast coriander seeds and cumin seeds. And then you take the coriander and cumin seeds out when they're done, and you use the same pan to toast sesame seeds. So it's just, you know, a lot of seeds and nuts.
Little toasty little seeds.
Just toasty seeds. And you are meant to kind of bash them together then, basically. But I was a bit lazy and I kind of blitzed them in my little KitchenAid mini chopper thing.
Your mini chopper.
Yeah, and I think I blitzed them a little bit too much. I think I probably should have kept a bit more texture. But it's lovely. It's lovely and fragrant. It's a nice crunch. That goes ultimately on top of the soup in the end. And then you also make these, again, some barberries or dried cranberries, which is what I use, or she says, or sour cherries or raisins.
Ah.
And you kind of rehydrate these little berries with some 100ml of water in a pan and some white wine vinegar and some honey. And then you just kind of bring it all in. The berries kind of plump up again. And she said not to throw away the liquid. Just use them instead of vinegar. Use it instead of vinegar in dressings, which I thought was
cool.
A nice little tip. But anyway, so then when your cauliflower is done, you break it into pieces, transfer it to a big pan and add stock or water. She says to have a boil kettle nearby and in case you might need more water to get the consistency the way you like it. And basically you just blitz it up using a hand blender. And it just wasn't doing it for me. I just don't know. Did I do something wrong? Or is it just, do I not like it? Because the cauliflowers, you just roast them without anything, right? And then...
Yeah, and they're very cauliflowery, aren't they, cauliflowers?
Yeah, and I don't know, then you're just using stock. There's no spices or even like cream or something. The texture was a bit grainy for me, no matter how much I added more liquid. And I just chucked loads of seasoning in there because I was like, Jesus, I couldn't taste anything. And then you serve it like that with some ducca on, which definitely adds flavour. And I'm sure the cashew cream, had I made it, would have added more flavour. And the berries are a nice little addition. But yeah, I just couldn't get past the soup itself. Just wasn't doing it for me. Mm-hmm. I would have loved some spice or cumin or something in there to like elevate it, or something additional to the kind of broth to bring some flavour. But yeah, it was just, oh, I wasn't really a fan. It was weird. I really wanted to like it, but I just couldn't. It was too much for me. I didn't want to, no.
That's okay.
Okay.
That's all right.
Okay.
I think this book, I felt it as well in this book. It's very, a lot of the recipes are like that, right? There's very few fresh chilies, for example, or
yeah,
other spices like that. It feels quite bland, a lot of the food, in an absolutely fine way. Like, if that's, you know, because that is people's comfort food, I guess.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe the, it's, I guess with your cauliflowers, it could be, you know, if you had really fancy, lovely, I don't know what fancy cauliflower is, but maybe it's something about the produce, right?
Yeah.
Like the right time of year. I don't know. But
I think it's,
I guess it's, that's when that really shines through, doesn't it? Like the quality of your stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it's maybe because she raves in the intro about, like, you know, how the duck is ambrosial and, it will, she's a lot of strong language, it will blow your mind.
She's very hyperbolic, isn't she?
Yeah. Oh, no. Throughout, she does mention it's vegan here, by the way. Oopsies, I missed that. She says it's her go-to if they have a vegan friend for dinner. I just think maybe I missed something or something. It wasn't. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. I really wanted to like it, but
that's okay. She forgives me.
And then the second thing that I made.
Forgive yourself, as Kenji would say.
Oh, thank you. Okay, yes, you're right. I do. Forgive myself. The second thing that I made was this Hedwig's brown butter miso and walnut cake.
Oh, lovely.
Yes, a lot of buzz, you know, brown butter, tick, as we know, I'm obsessed.
Walnuts.
Miso,
no,
yeah.
Walnuts.
Well, I'm obsessed with walnuts. She just never shuts up about walnuts.
Cake.
Though. Hedwig, tick. Oh, have you noticed she's got the little QR codes a bit Molly Baz-esque as well?
Yes, with the guide. Yeah, I did notice that.
So you, what's lovely here, my favourite bit of this is that you brown the butter, and that's my favourite thing. No, into the brown butter, once you've done that, you whisk in miso. And then you leave that to cool and firm up. I popped it in the fridge. But it tastes amazing because it's, you know.
Yeah, I bet.
Just, I love miso.
It's like two, like, umami bomb things,
yes, exactly.
Right? Like, your brown butter gets that. Yeah, or there's.
It's like waggling your fingers.
That no one can see. Like, that depth of flavour, quote unquote.
Yes, 100%. It's just delicious. You could probably just spread that on toast and, you know, die a happy person. And then the cake comes together quite easy once that brown butter miso thing is ready. So you just beat that butter with sugar, and then you add in eggs one at a time, self-raising flour, and then you add in yogurt at the end by hand, and then you spread that into the prepared tin. Oh my god, this was funny. So I did it in the lovely Nordic ware tin that you got me that I previously have mentioned.
Yeah.
But of course that's an upside down tin, and you, as in, because the mold, beautiful bit, is on the bottom and you're gonna ultimately flip the cake over, but here you have to scatter the walnuts on top of the cake. So I should have definitely fucking put them in first, and I did not. But anyway, yes, you put in the batter. A normal person would put this into the tin that they've prepared and scatter the walnuts over, and then you bake it for like 40 to 50 minutes. And when it's cooked, or when it's baking or nearly baked, you dissolve some sugar in water. You make like a syrup, and you add some miso into that syrup, and then you put in the some more chopped walnuts in there, and you spread that syrup over the cake when it's out of the oven, which
that sounds like a great cake.
Yeah, it was good. Again, I didn't want the crumb was a little bit tight for me. It wasn't like a big, you know, kind of spongy crumb. But again, I was just like, was I just having a bad day? I don't know. I did them both in the one day. Oh, also, I completely forgot to take a photo of the cauliflower.
of the cover.
Yeah. Oh, I got a nice one of the
We've
cake.
Been away for too long.
I know. Do you remember for Simon Hopkinson, I forgot to take a photo and then I drew one for our Instagram, like the shittest fish and chips there ever was. It was nice. It was nice. But you know what? Maybe with brown butter, sometimes in these cakes, because I made Molly Baz's banana bread the other day as well. I've made it before, but given it away. And this time I made it and had some, and that has brown butter in it too. And I don't know if it carries in the in cakes of that size. I don't know if you can get, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. I like it in Madeleines or whatever, but they're so small and the quantity of, you know, they're buttery little cakes.
Yes.
So bites. Yeah, I don't know. You could definitely get the miso and the kind of candied walnuts on top were a lovely addition. But yeah, I'd have to give that one another go, I think, because the crumb doesn't look that tight in the picture. Maybe I did something wrong. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe I wasn't having a great day. Sorry, Alia.
I don't know. It's okay. I think it's fine to not love them. I'm not, maybe you're right. Maybe just those flavors just don't do it for you or don't go together in a cake.
Yeah,
that's what, you know, like that, those, you know, brown butter is very savory, miso is obviously very savory and salty, and then you're adding like sugar to that, maybe it just evens it out and it's not really,
yeah,
nothing's winning.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, maybe that was it. But I want to like this book, so I'm gonna try and make some other things and report back, because there was lots of other things which we'll get to that I wanted to make. But yeah, I just felt like I failed a bit.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What did you make, my friend? My little bow.
My little bow. I also made two things.
Okay.
A bit of a slog. I feel like I worked on my two things from this book for like 2 days. I didn't really need to, but it just, that so happened. So the first thing I made was Xenia's Zrazi.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I saw that.
So I'm not sure if this is like cheat. It's page 203. I don't know if this is cheating because, so if anybody remembers, I made Zrazi from Alice Zaslavsky's In Praise of Veg,
mm-hmm.
With, is that, I think that's how you say her name, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Zaslavsky. And the ones from that hat. So they're the same, basically. These little nuggets of mashed potato,
yes,
with some kind of filling inside.
Yeah.
So same thing. And I'm sorry that I've made these again, but I loved those ones from Alice, and I've thought about them a lot since, and I've always wanted to make them again. And then I saw that she had them, and I was like, great. And these ones have meat in the middle.
Yes.
So I was like,
which is great. The only thing that put me off making them, because I was like, ooh, lovely little potato dumpling.
Well, she does also say that she makes them for her husband without any meat because he's veggie, and that's why she makes the sauce, because she doesn't think that with the meat in they need anything. They're just fine.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But I have some thoughts. So, in very different, if I'm going to compare it to Alice's, they're very different recipes. Well, not very different, but different in that you still need cold mashed potato, 500 grams of cold mashed potato. So that's what took the time with this one. I had to cook the mashed potato the night before and then let it cool. Fine. that was easy. Just did it like normal. And with Alice's, she makes like a dough out of the mashed potatoes. You add eggs, I think, and flour and stuff to the mashed potato to make it like a dough. So it's more kind of pliable, so you can add the filling.
Right.
And you cook the filling the night before with Alice Zasvlaski's, and hers was like a mushroomy one. With this one, Xenia, who was her auntie,
right,
her mom's sister, you don't cook the filling. So you cook the filling when you cook the little dumpling nugget things.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And also you don't do anything to the mashed potato apart from... you dip it in egg and then semolina to make it have like a little
crusty,
little crispy out.
Crispy out.
So that's interesting.
It is. I wouldn't have thought it would cook very well in the middle.
Yeah. It cooks fine because it's mince.
Okay, yeah.
That's well. So it's 100 grams of minced beef, 100 grams of minced pork, mixed with a little onion that's been grated and a couple of eggs. So you mix all that together. She says you have to see, that's it, right? No spices, no anything. She says you have to season it really well so it tastes nice. She does say you could add some spices in, but basically you just get, she says, like 80 grams of mashed potato with 40 grams of the meat and put that in the middle.
Okay.
Let me tell you, that's impossible.
Why?
Like mashed potato that's just cold mashed potato that is not made into any kind of dough situation is not going to hold anything. It just falls apart in your hands.
Yeah.
So I changed the kind of quantities to make them much smaller because they were going to be massive. That seemed quite big. And I kind of gave up on having the filling like all in the middle. It was mostly, it felt like it was like distributed throughout, right, by the time I'd finished.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
It. That was not a fun process, I don't think.
Oh no.
So anyway, fine. To make sure it's all cooked, so you like I said, you put the egg, semolina, and then you fry them either side. So then you squash them down and they're like a little oval shape, like an oval, like a flat oval dumpling. You fry them each side for a couple of minutes so they're kind of fried off. And then you turn the heat down and put a lid on and let them kind of sizzle away
right,
for 3 or 4 minutes on each side. So the inside is cooked. And that's that. And then she has a sauce with them, like I said, that she says you don't need to make, but you should make it if you're just making the vegetarian ones, which are just potato. fried. And that is dried wild mushrooms you kind of, obviously you soak, butter, onion, 200 grams of button mushroom, it's like a mushroomy one,
right,
garlic and creme fraiche. And so you kind of, you get the onions down to be like lovely and caramelized in some butter. You add all the mushrooms and a bit of the like mushroom soaking juice, which she loves as well. In my other recipe, she did that.
Mushroom soaking juice. I wouldn't go see that bad.
And that's it. So you kind of, you just, that's it. And they weren't like Alice's. They were quite bland.
Oh, no.
She does call them, you know, and I think that they're kind of supposed to be, because she calls them in the thing, like, their simple nursery food version. I think she talks about her kids liking them. So they're really... I gave Marcus one. He was not interested. yes. So they're very potato-y.
Yeah.
And not particularly filling-y. Because it kind of distributes and they felt frustrating to make because the potato doesn't hold together very well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the way to combat that, if you're not making it into a dough, would be to just to not make mashed potato with like butter and milk and cream, whatever.
Yeah.
It would just be to have mashed potatoes, but that would taste crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe like,
so I get it. I get The sauce was lovely. I'm going to make that sauce again and put it on pasta because it was really nice.
It does sound good.
Like, all that mushroomy, like, yeah, absolutely beautiful. Wish I'd just put that on pasta, to be honest.
Maybe it's seasoning. Like, I guess, like, seasoning is a big thing here, right? Like, if we're... Maybe I should have salted my cauliflowers more. You know, maybe the potato seasoning. I don't know either.
She does say, the filling must be seasoned with salt properly. You can always fry a little bit off to make sure it's super nice. Mm. I didn't, but I did add a lot of salt. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fine. What I know is that I like these jrazy. And also, I liked the ones I made for Alice. Sorry, just talking about Alice the whole time.
You're like comparing it to your ex.
Yeah, she just had better flavor. But yeah, sauce was great, like the little creme fraiche mushroomy thing. Yes, the other thing I made was dumplings over a potato and mushroom stew.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, yes, very wholesome. So this is basically a really kind of simple mushroom and potato stew. Mm-hmm. Really simple, beautiful, lovely. But it's topped with these like snails of dough.
Ah.
That you make the dough and then that you cook them
on top
in the stew, so they like puff up and cook. And are like this lovely topping for your stew, and they're like this amazing, gorgeous dough. That was honestly the highlight of this book for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's on page 193 if you want to.
Thank you.
You got it.
I'm here.
So again, I did this the night before, kefir in the dough. What I will say that I loved about this book and all the recipes that I looked at, she does so many substitutions.
Yes.
Like, everything has a substitution. Like, this has ghee in it, mm-hmm. clarified butter, but you can use butter or you can use... So she said, I couldn't find kefir.
Yes.
For the dough, but she says, you can use 150ml of yogurt, let down with 50ml of water. Great. There's always yogurt in my house. Yeah. Right? Like,
That's a great tip.
Made sure that I could make this because I really wanted to. Mm-hmm. So it's a really simple dough that is quite painless to make. So 200ml of kefir or the yogurt thing, yeast, brown sugar, an egg, flour.
Oh, nice.
And then oil for your thing. You kind of put that together, put it all together with a spoon, and then she says to get in there with your hand and like instead of like kneading it, she talks about like slapping it on the or like bashing it on the side of the bowl for basically as long as you can be bothered and you have the energy to. And then you put it in an oiled bowl and let it rise, which she says takes a couple of hours. I put it in the fridge overnight.
Oh, nice.
Because I could. And then so she has a QR code, but I actually didn't watch it. So for this next bit, you get the dough out and you roll it out into a big square,
uh-huh.
a big rectangle, and you spread some melted either clarified butter or unsalted butter all over the top of it,
right?
And then you roll it up like a Swiss cigar roll.
Oh yeah. Or a cigar.
Or a Swiss roll.
Depends what your vice is. Cigar, Swiss roll.
Yeah. And you chop it into, like, I think she has, like, 16 pieces.
Okay, nice.
Right? So you've got these little, like, cinnamon roll-style little...
Yeah, little swirls.
And you put those, away to kind of prove for another... I think she just says 45 minutes or so. Maybe I've... I don't know what she says. 30 minutes, she says.
Okay.
So you just kind of you oil the tops and leave to prove.
Nice.
Do you oil the tops? I don't think you do oil the tops. I just literally made that up. so you leave them to prove. And that was because I made spring onion pancakes yesterday, and you do this a similar kind of thing with spring onion pancakes, right? Where you roll them up and then you do oil the tops. So you leave those, and then you make your stew, which is very mushroomy. Okay. So you've got like you rehydrate 50 grams of dried mushrooms, and that's a lot, right?
Yeah. For
mushrooms with vegetable stock.
Right.
So you leave that to soak for as long as you want to.
Yeah.
And then it's just 400 grams of chestnut mushrooms, 500 grams of potatoes.
Not done with the mushrooms
cut
yet,
into wedges. No, so many mushrooms. This is such a mushroomy dish. Sorry to my husband, who doesn't like mushrooms, and had to wait all night for this stew, and didn't like it.
And now you're filing for divorce.
So basically, you just oil in the pan, and then you cook. So you cook up two onions that are thickly sliced, not thinly sliced. For as she says, as long as you, like, basically as long as you have the patience for. Love that.
Yeah.
Take the onions out, kind of cook off the mushrooms, take the mushrooms out, cook off the potatoes really quickly, everything back in with some garlic, the dried mushrooms, and the kind of the water, mushroom soaking water.
Nice. Juice, you said juice, which is what juice, made it worse. Anything juice is just like, what? Bin juice. What?
And you just kind of cook that in a little, you know, that comes together as a little stew.
Right.
And once it's kind of all boiling together and ready, you get your little cinnamon roll snails, and you pop them over the top, leaving a little gap because they're going to puff up.
Yeah.
So the thing, lid on
your
like casserole dish, and then you just let it go on the hob for 20 minutes.
Oh, right.
Ah. And yeah, that's it. I thought you were going to put it
in the
you
oven.
Should put it in the oven as well, but no, it's just on the hob. And then, so this dough is like, it gets to be like steamed bun, bao, dumpling dough, but it soaks up all the lovely juices from juice from the
stew.
From the
stew juice.
Stew. And it's just delicious.
Oh, that's great. It was
And then the dough, I had loads left over. I had loads of little snails left over. And I was like, I'm just going to bake a couple off. Because she says at the bottom, use this dough for all sorts of things. So I was like, right, I'm going to bake a couple off, see what they taste like. And they were amazing.
Oh, wow.
They were so good. Like, really interesting texture when they're baked.
Yeah.
Because obviously, but she also says you can, like, steam them and put whatever you want in them, like little bowls, or you could have them like burger buns. Honestly, that is a standout for me, that dough, like it really was great.
I want to make it. Looking at the picture, it looks kind of fluffy, kind of milk bready or something, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. It does feel like that, and she says when making the dough that it's probably going to be really like wet, and basically you should handle it as wet as you can handle it.
Right.
Makes sense. Because the wetter the dough, the lighter
the
bread.
Yeah. Which is always like, that's true, but it's always so hard to work with, isn't it? Like, it's the same with even like focaccia and stuff, right? Like, it's like, you know you shouldn't add extra flour, but if you're doing it by hand or whatever, it's a bit of a nightmare. So
yes,
I guess it's good that she
mine wasn't too wet, but maybe that was because I used yogurt and not kefir, and kefir is more like liquidy.
Quite liquid, isn't it?
But basically it turned out great. The stew was also really, really nice, and this is where my Jamie Oliver mention and praise of Jamie Oliver comes in. It reminded me a lot of my favourite Jamie Oliver recipe from one of his books. I think it's from Seven Things or whatever it's called. Seven.
How many of his books ingredients? Do you have, Victoria?
Just the two. Uh-huh. Literally, just the one that we did for the pod and Seven Things, which my parents bought me a few years ago. And it's this mushroom and sourdough soup thing.
Oh, interesting.
Where you put sourdough. It's basically like this. You get dried mushrooms and potatoes and stuff. Mm. Maybe not potatoes. Can't remember. And then, you bake it in the oven,
right,
with sourdough in it. And it has to be sourdough because I guess it's got that, like, the consistency. It's not, you can't just put like white bread.
Bit of Hovis on top there.
And it's so good. Shout out to Jamie. This is the only shout out of good things he may have. Oh, that's not true. He may do some good things in the future. But that's a great recipe.
I'm kind of with Stephen on that. I'm not a big mushroom fan. I'm just a medium size.
This wouldn't be your thing.
Yeah, which is unfortunate for a vegetarian, right? Because I think I've said it before. You get a lot of mushrooms, but I would be really intrigued to try those dumplings. I wonder, could I just put them over another type of stew?
Yes, I said that. Like, put it over your cauliflower stew, your cauliflower soup.
Yeah.
I said that to Stephen. I was like, I think you could put them over anything that's a stew that's got enough, I guess, liquid, because you're going to want it to go into them a bit. And that gives that taste. Or just make the dough anyway and,
have some fun. But it's a good idea, right?
And it looks so impressive.
Yeah, it does look good. It looks really cool. Oh, I love that. I've never made a stew like that. There's a lot of them with kind of dumplings on top. Or like, what is it? This is completely defunct. Like a biscuit dough. Don't some people do it with like a kind of a savoury scone? Or
like an American biscuit.
Yeah. I've never done any of those. And I'm always a bit put off by like how like pale the dough is, I think. But I think it probably...
I imagine works with those biscuity ones, you bake them, right? Like in the you wouldn't obviously just leave them on the hob.
You'd bake them. The lid off. Yeah, which was why I was like, oh, you just do this. This is essentially you're essentially just steaming these, I guess. Then a bit like how cool! That was a fun thing to try. She says to serve it with some kraut or kimchi. Huh, interesting.
Yes, which I did have it with a load of kimchi, and it was great. Because it needed it, because it was very rich, obviously, because of all of those dried mushrooms.
Yes.
So you needed something to cut through that. So I got all the pickles out.
All of the pickles.
I was like, what's going to be best? I've run out of kimchi, which is annoying because it's hard to come by. Like, good kimchi is hard to find.
Around those parts. What were there other things that you saw that took your fancy that you wanted to make?
Not loads.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like when I first flipped through it, I was like, oh God, I don't know what I'm going to make.
Right.
Because there's lots of things that looked nice, but also you've got to think like, right, what are people going to eat in my house? What can I get the rest of the ingredients for, etc.
So you're just going to make the one thing that the other adult in your house doesn't like.
It's fine. My mother-in-law is here the next day and she had stuff she liked. But the chicken cotoletta sandwiches.
Oh, I didn't see great, that.
Like a little schnitzly, and also I will always shout out if someone's got a recipe for a sandwich in their book, because ultimate comfort food, a sandwich.
Best thing in the world. Toast.
And the tomato rice, which she then makes into like a tomato rice cake.
Yes, I thought that was fun.
I'm sorry.
No, we're sorry. Just
Siri.
Kenji said not to be sorry, Siri. It's fine. There's too many apologies in this episode.
How about you? What did you feel like making?
There was a butter bean dip with garlic and paprika oil that I thought looked fun. Love a dip, as we know. Did you see her savoury eggy bread? Which caught my eye. It's like a French toast thing, but then you...
I did...
put, like, Kewpie mayonnaise, she thought, which threw me, and, like, some coarsely grated Gouda cheese on top. I was just intrigued.
It's a bit cheesy for me, but it looks delicious.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. It's a good idea. Simple. Yeah, like, you definitely have most of the stuff to make that. There's a peanut and dulce de leche cake, which I thought looked nice, too. A lot of the baking stuff that she has a kind of I don't have it here, but I can't find the page, but it was like a milk, essentially like a milk bread that you make with like a...
Yes, she has like a Japanese, it is like a Japanese...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of the baking... Oh, it's called, this is it, it's called Bread for Eating. Shokupan or milk bread. And I thought that would be fun. But yeah, I want to give it another go because I just... I feel like I was having an off day or something, or... Yeah, maybe my seasoning game wasn't. And I guess I'm being biased here, right? Because like I was so hard on someone like Alison Roman because her recipes didn't really work for me. But because I really respect Olya and I really like her, I'm like, oh, it was all me.
I think that you know that her recipes are good, right? Like she writes for various places online. Last weekend or the weekend before, she had like a thing in the Guardian, writing about, was it vegetable? It was like a vegetable side dishes thing. I can't remember.
Yes.
That's why I was disappointed about this book. I thought there'd be more pickles.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe one of my 2023, late stage thing is to get into fermentation and pickling.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe I make my own kimchi. I shouldn't rely on having to go and buy it from somewhere in Bristol. Maybe I make my own.
I tried to make it once, and...
Did it explode?
It exploded, yeah. All over the kitchen. I feel like I've heard it. Yeah, and it was... is it gochujang that I put in it? And it was... It's obviously quite a fiery red colour, and it just, like, stained shit out of all the shelves and everything. She's got a fermented chilli sauce in here that I thought looked nice. Nigella had one of those in her most recent book as well, and I'd love to give that a go. But yeah, I know what you mean. I like her kind of no waste approach, right? Like even, like I said on the rehydrating those berries that time, she's like, don't throw that away. You can use it as a dressing. She's obviously just a very smart, like instinctive cook. I bet, I'd like to have her cook for me basically.
Olya. Yes. Yeah.
You're invited to my come down with me. Olya Hercules.
Yeah, maybe that's it. We've got to get our favourite chefs on. Although, I don't want to cook for them.
No, I don't want to cook for them. I laughed and then I immediately was like, no, I don't want to do that. Shall we rate?
Shall we rate? Yes.
Let's rate.
Yeah, shall we?
Yeah, you just grab your mushroom poaching liquid and or juices and come over here and rate.
So that's the next health food.
Feel so unwell.
Move aside bone broth. Move in mushroom soaking juice.
It's just the word juice. Okay, so if you haven't joined us before,
sorry
each episode
you don't actually have to get mushroom soaking juice for this bit if you haven't joined us.
No, just grab whatever juice you have nearby. We rate each
apple, orange, mushroom.
We rate each of the books that we discuss, and we rate them out of 5 criteria. They are usability and accessibility,
that's one.
Ingredients used, aesthetics, veggie friendliness, and inspirability. How kind of inspired are you to cook based on the book? And we change what we rate out of each episode, usually something that kind of pops up again and again throughout the book. And for this episode and for Olya's home food, we're going to rate out of
Cabbages.
How's your cabbages? We didn't mention that, but there are a lot of cabbages in here. There's a lot of cabbage fritters. Is there cabbage fritters? There's a cabbage pie. Mainly cabbages. Cabbage pie, yeah. Well, she has a chapter on potato and cabbages, I think.
Yes, she does. Did you talking about cabbages before we... Right, did you see that... So this week, Vittles have done a thing about food tattoos, a newsletter about food tattoos, and Tom Eagle, he's got a... I was just getting it up on my phone right now. He has a hispy carrot cabbage tattoo.
Oh.
Hispy?
Yeah, hispy.
Yes.
Careless hispy. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that tattoo. It's a bit shaded. I don't know. Ow. I don't want to...
Oh, apparently it's not... It's not someone's tattoo. It's not hispy. It's a calabos. But he tells people it's a hispy.
Calabos. It's a calabos. I love it. What cabbage would you get tattooed on you if you had to get a cabbage? I'd definitely go for a Chinese leaf.
Would you?
Delicate.
A little, you know, well, that's it. Does bok choy or whatever count? Is that a cabbage? Is that in a cabbage family?
I feel like you're bending the rules there. Yeah.
I'd go for one of those.
Brussels sprout next.
Yes, I would get a Brussels, one tiny little Brussels sprout. Are those like pointy ones? Are they cabbages or are they broccoli? They're cabbage or are they cauliflowers? You know, the pointy ones.
Vic is just doing crab movements with carrot. Do you mean like a romesco?
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's a broccoli. Okay, we'll come back to you on this point.
Just a white cabbage. A white cabbage, like, you know, like half chopped up into very fine bits. That's how I'd get it.
Okay, cool, good to know. Let us know, dear listeners, what cabbage you would have tattooed onto your body permanently.
One of you wins a cabbage tattoo.
Seriously, the prize has never been claimed. Vic, how many cabbages are you giving this out of 5?
Right, let me talk you through my thinking.
Please do. My little dumpling.
Usability and accessibility, that's one. I'm giving it a yes, mm-hmm. a one. giving
it a yes. All right, Simon Cowell.
What is wrong with me? It's quite late in the day.
It's late.
That's getting one from me. It's not a difficult book. And when there is anything a little bit difficult, there is a QR code.
Yes.
So that's good. Ingredients, that's another one. That gets one for me because there's options. I like we said, there's things you split.
We like options.
Yeah. Aesthetics, that gets one from me. It's not my favourite looking book of all time, but it's not terrible. It has pictures for most of the recipes and beautiful pictures of, you know, squash and her cute kids. So, yes. Come on. It's very
squash and her. Just loads of pictures of Anya holding squash.
Like little.
A bit like Wilson from Castaway.
I was going to go with
squash and Anya.
Macbeth, but also Wilson from Castaway.
Those strong images.
Oh, God. Veggie friendly, yeah. There's a lot of vegetarian cooking. She talks about how a lot of it's plant-based, I think, you know, plant-led or whatever the cool kids are saying these days.
Plant-centric.
Inspirability, I struggled, Hannah, to decide what to do with this one. Because like you, I love and respect Ole Hercules, but am I going to pick this book up off the shelf very often? I don't know. I feel like I don't know. I want to give it half because there's enough in there to feel a bit inspired. Definitely isn't one. It's definitely not getting a whole one. And actually, maybe I'm just gonna say no.
Okay.
It's no cabbages.
Okay.
It's not okay. So that's four cabbages out of 5 for me.
Okay.
How about you?
Similar vibes. Glad you asked. Similar vibes. Usability and accessibility definitely are very easy. And ingredients used. There's nothing wild in here, as the Irish would say. but aesthetics, yeah, I think it's a half. I I like the pictures, but I don't. Oh, I'm sorry, Ollie. I don't like the cover. I don't think I'm not here for the color scheme.
Also, white on mint green is not a good accessibility. You know, zero for in terms of, you know, being able to see what is written.
Who needs to see anyway? Okay. Veggie friendliness. Half. Do I want to give it half? I know what you mean. There are a lot of veggie things in here, but sometimes I thought the things that looked most interesting to me had some meaty elements. So I was like, oh, and I just keep
you
on,
don't just want to eat keep on potato leafing. Cakes?
Well, I do actually, but they had meat in them too, and I didn't care to read the intro enough to realise that I could have just eaten them with a mushroom sauce because I'm a lazy shite. So maybe just a half for me on the veggie friendliness, and a half on no, I'm not going to give it one for inspirability. No, I think I'm with you on that. I just don't think it's my food. Do you know what I mean? And I spoke in the new we did an episode for Patreon subscribers on our New Year's resolutions, and it was about like what one of mine was to be, you know, get out of my comfort zone and stop going for the Ottolenghi-esque recipes. But I just, this was a little bit of the opposite for me. I just don't know if there was enough kind of spice and flavour and stuff like that. So yeah, I struggled a little bit with this one, I'm not going to lie. But I'm going to give it another chance. I'm going to come back. I'm going to do some of the baking, I think. I'm going to do the milk breads. But yeah.
Good. So how many was that?
I think it was only 2.5, was it?
Wowee.
Ingredients. Yeah, I didn't give it one for... Yeah, no, sorry. 2.5. Ooh. Oh, I feel mean now. Let's move on. I can't take it. I can't take being... I don't like being negative. Let's talk about our next episode. That's Dr. Dre, the next episode for the people in the back.
I got it, just to say. I got it. I was just giving you the moment to continue that.
Thanks. Before I launched into the rap.
Is that this... What? Beep, beep, boop, boop. That is... When I did that then, Hannah you know, held her headphones like something had gone wrong. I'd been cut off. But actually, I was just saying weird...
Having a moment.
So our next episode... is going to be the final episode of season 2. Well, the final book of season 2. It's probably not going to be the final episode.
No, because I don't know how we'll categorise that, but we're going to do some fun floating episodes, aren't we?
Fun
out floaties. Of season.
Fun
off
floaters.
Season, off menu.
Oh, God, off menu. God, we are so embarrassing.
sorry.
So yes, the book is the book. Oh my God!
The chef,
Diana Henry.
Thanks. Okay.
It's Diana Henry.
Well, this is kind of a fun like 360 moment. I never know if it's 360 or 180 when you talk about these things, but because our first ever cookbook circle meetup, which was how the cookbook circle started, was Diana Henry themed, because we thought she was such a legend, and there was loads of such a legend. And then there was Diana Henry. That there was loads of her recipes were freely available online and stuff like that. So it's kind of fun to wrap up at the season two of inspirational global women honk. With her
original inspirational global woman who inspired us to be global international women podcasters. So we're doing two different books, right?
Yeah.
I am going to talk about From Oven to Table. That's the name of the book.
And I'm going to talk about From Table to Oven. It's follow-up.
When you haven't cooked it for long enough.
When your dinner's a bit cold and you just need to put it back in for a bit. I'm going to talk about how to eat a peach, I think it's called.
Love it.
Yes, it's exciting. So we're going to talk about those two books, and then we'll tell you in that one a little bit more about the episodes that we'll be doing after that.
Yeah, and maybe we'll tease a bit of season three, which is coming.
Maybe.
It's not, we're not, nobody's having a baby. Well, some people are, but not, neither of us.
No.
The podcast is our baby now. we'll be back.
Yes, so we will see you for that one. And thank you for listening.
Thank you, guys. We love you. We love you earlier. We love dumplings. Bye.
Bye.
Wow, harmonies.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please do subscribe and leave us a review as it helps others to find us. You can see how recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle. And if you make anything from the books we talk about, don't forget to tag us. See you next time. Bye!